Now, Ask Dr. Love with psychotherapist, author, love and relationship expert Jamie Turndorf, Ph.D. For expert advice on love and relationships, call into the show at 888-463-6748. That's 888-GO-FOR-IT. Or you can submit your question online at AskDrLove.com. Now, here's Dr. Love.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Ask Dr. Love Radio. I'm Dr. Jamie Turndorf, and it's my pleasure to be with you again today. We're talking about bad boys. Are you addicted to bad boys? Well, if there's a bad boy who's making you say oi, then you probably are. So stick around, because I'm going to introduce you to Victoria Howard, author of Why Women Love Bad Boys. And this book explains the red flags to watch for when starting a new relationship and how to break the bad boy addiction. Now, Victoria has been featured on Sally Jesse Raphael, Fox and Friends, and much more. And she's been in Good Morning LA, Huffington Post, Miami Herald. So without further ado, let me introduce you to Victoria Howard. Are you there?
Yeah. Hi. How you doing?
Hello. How are you?
Fine, thanks.
Glad you could make it. So tell me, first of all, why did you write this book? Did you yourself get addicted to a bad boy, or did you have a friend fall into this hole?
Well, truthfully, ever since I've been a little girl, I always liked the bad boy type. For some reason, I always would rather go for the guy on the motorcycle with the tattoos and not the guy with a nice suit, just something about the edge that drove me crazy. And growing up, I married two bad boys. And when I say bad boys, they weren't physically abusive, but they were emotionally abusive, which is just as bad. And I was a model, and I traveled around the world, and every girl that I met, 8 out of 10 of them were attracted to the same type, the rock stars, the bad boys. And finally, when I got divorced, I was asked to write this book because it's just, it's amazing how many women are attracted to a bad boy. And I don't mean bad boy in the sense where they beat you, or some of them do, or the Jeffrey Dahmers or the Ted Bundys behind bars, but just the guy that makes you stay by the phone waiting and he doesn't call, or, you know, that kind of bad boy.
Okay. So let's get down to it, because a lot of people, I'm sure, would like to know what are the bad boy types, because you categorize them in your book in 10 groups. So how about we go over those 10 groups?
Sure.
Okay. I got a frog. Sorry about that. I hate when I get a frog when I'm on the radio. It's so annoying. It's like a woman getting her period on her wedding night. It just seems to go together. So anyhow, go for it. Tell me the bad boy types.
Okay, well, the first type I list in the book is the misogynist. And the misogynist are men who they love to hate women, meaning they come across as a charming man and they'll sweep you off your feet, but deep down inside, they really don't like women. So whether it goes back to their childhood or the mother maybe did something to them, or a first girlfriend broke their heart, they really do hate women. And they like, their game is to go out there and collect as many women as they can get and then break their hearts.
Charming, huh? Now, what's the sign that you're attracted to, or you're falling for that type of guy, the woman hater in disguise?
Well, like I said, he's mostly, it doesn't have to be extremely good looking like Brad Pitt, but he has that I don't care attitude. He has, you know, we all like the chase. Most of us like the chase. And we want what we can't have. And bad boys are that. They're the epitome of wanting what we can't have. So the misogynist usually comes across as a very charming and sweet guy, and but he has an edge. And the women fall for him, and then as soon as he gets them, it's next.
Right. So one way that women can be aware of this tendency in a guy is to do their research on the man and ask questions. Actually, I have a guide on my website that's for free when people sign up for the newsletter. It's called Critical Questions to Ask Before You Get Close. And in there, I'm really helping you weed out all these types of guys, because if you ask the question, so tell me about your relationship history, and you start seeing a pattern of, oh, he's kicked 25 women to the curb, well, that would be a clue. So tell me about some other bad boy type. So we've gone past the womanator. What's the next one?
The narcissist. He's the really extremely looking pretty boy. The Brad Pitt. You know, the good looking guy that it just really can't love a woman because he loves himself. I've been involved with men like that, and why at the time I can't tell you why, but it just seems like they turned me on. And they were the Brad Pitts, the pretty boys, and they know they exude, they had this beautiful they throw off this I don't care. I'm really the prize, and women go after that, and they chase for that, and then it becomes an addiction. They want, it has to be that they have to have that man, and then again, once the man gets that woman, he just throws her away, kicks her to the curb.
Mm-hmm. Now, you know, there's a variant, I guess a less destructive variant of the narcissist. You know, this narcissist that you're describing is the pretty boy who I'm only in love with myself, can't love others. Well, in fact, the narcissist doesn't really love himself at all. It's a big fear that covers up a lot of self-loathing. But in any case, you know, Victoria, after my husband died a few years later, I did some internet dating. Because I live in the country, I'm not going to meet anybody but a cow here, you know, or a horse. So I did some internet dating, and this one guy was an architect, and I meet him in a restaurant locally, and I tell you, the man raped my eardrums. He was not the beautiful narcissist. He was just the self-absorbed narcissist, where I'm sitting here thinking, I could be making money in my office instead of listening to this guy go on and on and on, ruining my ears, you know?
Oh yeah. That's, well, I wrote a book called another book. It had been about internet dating, sex lives, and someone else's picture. And let me tell you, people that are out there on the internet dating scene have to be very, very careful. I mean, there's so much deceitful out there. But go ahead. I'm sorry. Go back.
Really? That's true. So, I mean, that kind of narcissist isn't particularly a bad boy. He's just a PITA. So, all right. So now, give me type three. Bad boy.
Type three is the commitment phobic. It's the guy that is always the best man, never the groom. He just can't make that final commitment. He will be lying to his girlfriend and making her wait. I'm going to marry you. You know, we're going to have a family. When it gets time to actually say I do, he doesn't. He runs. Mm-hmm. And it's like the runaway bride. It's the runaway groom. He just can't make a commitment.
And you'll know that because there's some telltale signs like, well, he's a bachelor and he's 84. No, he's older and he's never married or has a string of lots of relationships that never really ended in marriage. Those are the main signs. Any others that you want to add?
Well, they could, you know, the guys that had been engaged numerous times. But they never walk down the aisle. And then when you ask them why, they usually reverse the situation and say something, of course, that it was the woman's fault. They will never let you know that they just couldn't commit.
Right. Exactly. You know, because in my critical questions to ask, you always want to be asking the question, what was your role in the breakup? And if it's always, it was her, it was her, it was her. Uh-huh. Well, you got a bad boy. Run, run, run. Right.
Right. So, that's exactly right.
So tell me the next bad boy type.
Okay, well, this is something that, unfortunately, a lot of women have to deal with, and it's the cheater. It's a guy, whether he's your husband or just a boyfriend or, you know, somebody new in your life, that has to cheat. They are addicted to cheating, like Michael Douglas was, and let's see, who else to say in the news, that Charlie Sheen. These are men that say that they have a sickness, that they have to have sex, and they can't stay with one woman. But that's
the sex addicts.
Bull.
Yeah, the sex addicts, right?
That's right, and they will cheat on you. Once, I mean, I hate to say this, but once a cheater, always a cheater. I have found that out. I mean, many, many times I coach men and women here in Florida. And they say, oh, no, I'm never going to cheat on her again or him again. And it's a matter of time. It's just in their blood.
Now, we have to make a distinction here between the people who are professional cheaters because they are either sex addicts or they have other unresolved emotional issues from childhood versus the cheating that affects a relationship, and the cheating is not a symptom of the guy or the woman being an addict, a cheating addict, but simply it's a symptom of something that's not working in the relationship. And I've had a lot of people like that where the relationship gets ruptured by cheating, but then we work on the relationship and the cheating goes away. So you have to be really, really careful to, you know, not paint with too broad strokes, because obviously you want to protect yourself against a serial cheater, but we have to also understand sometimes cheating is a symptom of something wrong in a relationship. We fix it and the cheating just stops. So cheaters, what's a sign that you are dating a bad boy who's a serial cheater?
Well, in personal experience, I was dating a guy years ago that was a cheater, and he was a very good one at that. He covered his, you know, all his ends. He was perfectly smooth and a good liar. So they're also liars. And he had told me that he wasn't married. Well, I find out he was married. And he had never got divorced, and he had another family. And how I found out was it took probably about a month, I would say, because he lived in a different state. And number one way I found out truthfully was he would never give me his phone number. He would call me. He would never, you know, he had a cheat on his wife, and I found out there was two other women besides myself in different states. He had four women, yeah.
Wow. Wow. That really, really hurts, man. You know, there was a famous case of a train conductor who had two separate lives on one end and the opposite end of the train line. And when he died, his two wives and the families appeared at his gravesite, never having known that he had a whole nother life, you know?
Oh, it's sad. It really is sad for the family and the wife. Yeah.
Yeah. It was so, so awful. Now, have you reflected on why you made a comment earlier about, you know, I just have been drawn to men who don't treat me right, they're cheaters, they're bad boys. Did you reflect on why you were doing it and what was causing you to be drawn to these kinds of guys?
Well, truthfully, after I got divorced from my second husband 15 years ago, he was a lot older than I was, and I was just his trophy. I was the trophy wife, and I was in the Mrs. America pageant. And when I lost, he wanted a divorce because I wasn't pretty enough. And this really affected me, obviously. I was so weak that when I left him and I moved to Florida, I met somebody else, and I started dating him, and it was the same pattern, the control, the jealousy. So I went to a psychoanalyst in New York that's quite famous. His name is Dr. Levinson. And I asked him, I said, you know, what's wrong with me? You know, and I talked to him. I said, you know, I don't want to keep doing this. I don't want to have this. He goes, well, you're attracted. You can't like a nice guy. And I said, well, what is the problem? I thought it was because I had my parents divorced when I was 4 years old. And my dad was a big musician, very good looking, and he was a player. And he cheated on my mother all the time. And my mother, you know, she would cry or whatever. So when they got divorced, I thought it was, I always looked at the daddy syndrome, the older man, which is what I was attracted to. But Fred told me, Dr. Levinson told me it was quite the opposite, which was very, very mind-blowing to me. He said it was because of my mother. And I got very defensive. I said, my mother, you know, my mother was the best mother in the world. She loved me. He said, and this really is something. He said she would be sitting home holding the baby, which was me, and rocking the baby and loving the baby. But as she's loving me, she's crying and she's nervous and she's full of anxiety because her husband's out cheating. So the baby, who was me, grew up to know that as familiar, the anxiety in men. I couldn't take a nice calm man. A nice calm man would just like feel like I was being choked and I would run.
Right, because it was sort of like your mother gave you, I call it a psychological allergy. You literally got afflicted with her emotional allergy, and there she was crying and sneezing, and you picked it up. That's the way closeness is supposed to feel, miserable and unsafe. Yeah, I get it. Let me take a brief break, and listen, before I take a break, Fire any liars. No, that's just weird. Any liars in your life, fire your liars. I'm going to be back in a moment on Ask Dr. Love Radio.
You're listening to Ask Dr. Love with Dr. Jamie Turndorf. To speak to Dr. Turndorf live on the air, call 888-463-6748. AskDrLove.com is the web's premier relationship advice site since 1996. Visit AskDrLove.com to search thousands of free relationship advice articles on any relationship issue you may have. Or you can submit a question to her free advice column. However, if you're listening live, why not call in? Don't be shy. Dr. Turndorf wants to help you, and this is a unique chance to get a personal answer from one of today's most respected experts. So, if you have a question for her, please call in now at 888-463-6748. That's 888-463-6748. Now back to Ask Dr. Love with Jamie Turndorf, Ph.D. Once again, here's Dr. Love.
Hello again, and welcome back to Ask Dr. Love Radio. I'm Dr. Jamie Turndorf, and it's my pleasure to be with you today talking about bad boys with my guest author, Victoria Howard. Victoria, this is my segment that I call Dr. Love's Quickie, so I guess you can imagine what the reason is. It's a very short segment, 6 minutes. So, I wanted to just ask you, because before we took the break, this was sort of stuck in my mind. You talked about, going to a psychoanalyst and understanding why you kept choosing bad boys. So did the explanation of the analyst help set you free?
As much as it could. And what I mean by that is, I know now what to, I still am attracted. I can see myself because it's, you know, we're humans are creatures of habit. And, we like, you know, usually you have the same pattern, and I'm breaking away from the pattern. When I meet a nice guy, I feel like I'm being choked. I push myself past that and I get to know who they are. And I haven't found the right guy yet. I have to say that, but I am looking, and I'm much better than I was. I don't go for the abusive men anymore. So he did help me. Yes.
Oh, that's a wonderful thing. You know, a lot of people say, you know, Sigmund Freud was the classic analyst. Everything was interpretation and explaining the links to your childhood. And he was unable to help people heal, because it turns out that interpretation alone doesn't heal us. We can understand it. So many people come to my office for therapy or on the phone or whatever, Skype, and they could write a dissertation on their pathology. You know, they have all the interpretations and they're still screwed up and stuck. So it turns out we need to have a different emotional experience to heal, you know. So what you're describing is really almost forcing yourself to go against the natural programming, which is closeness feels painful and anxiety riddled. And so you go past it to just pushing yourself out of the comfort zone and being with a guy who isn't necessarily so stressful and anxiety provoking. He's just a nice, boring guy.
And you're right.
And you get, and it's sort of like swallow your medicine. And then as you do it, the connection develops. You just haven't met the right person yet. That's the deal, right?
That's very true. Very true.
Right. And do you know the kind of guy you want, by the way?
Well, you know, now I'm a baby boomer, so what I was looking for before, I'm not looking for. I was always into power and things like that, looks. Now I'm looking for a family man that enjoys the simple things and that respects women and someone to grow old with. So, yes, if he's out there, hopefully I'll find him. If not, I sure did have fun trying.
Oh, yeah. So I'm going to put out the good word, because Dr. Love is kind of hooked up here, you know, in the love department. So I'm going to put out the energetic good word for you. And, you know, I did something some years ago. It sounds crazy, but, you know, energy is so mysterious. We don't fully even understand all about energy and the sending and the receiving of energetic signals. But some years ago, I invented a game called Love Quest, the game of finding Mr. Right. And in it, women could date the different types of men, and I actually had all the different bad boys. I didn't call them bad boys, but all the different dysfunctional types, and they could role play and not only date the dysfunctional guys, but also date, you know, the guys who were the quote unquote nice guys and practice dating and find out who's right for them. And this one woman who was playing the game with me said, you know, this is just not going to work for me. You know, I just keep having bad boys one after another. She plays the game and she finds this guy who's right for her. And I said to her, now, make a written, like, dossier of your ideal guy, the one you dated in this game. Post it on your bathroom mirror, on your refrigerator, and just literally flesh this guy out. His looks, his personality, his traits, his interests, do all that. And she wrote me a month later and she said, I met the guy. So I don't know whether the affirmation actually drew him to her or whether she recognized the guy because she had fully fleshed him out, but she lived happily ever after. So have you ever considered doing that for you? Literally writing out everything that you're looking for, make that guy real and post him.
You know, that's a good idea, and I'll try doing that. It's just I'm so busy with other people that I coach here and helping them with relationships, but I don't have time for myself.
I know, but I want you to find love. And on my site, I have a free guide. It's called Dr. Love's Create a Mate. You can just actually print it out, download it, and do it. It guides you on how to create it, because I have a strong feeling this is going to be your year. I really do.
Well, thank you very much.
I really do.
I'll let you know.
I want to hear. So let me give you a couple of tweets in my quickie. That's one of the things I do during the quickie segment is I give the tweets, and it sort of drives home the point of the show. So here's the first one, okay? Try being coy when you're hit on by a bad boy. Okay? He may be cute, but is he a brute? And if a guy continually breaks your heart, you're better off apart.
Very good.
And if he makes you sing the blues, he's the guy you want to lose.
Amen.
if loving him requires heavy lifting, your attentions need to start shifting. Good. And don't let a man steal your emotional shirt. Remember, love ain't supposed to hurt. And choosing a nice guy is easy as pie. And if a guy makes you feel used, you're being abused. And here's my last one for you on this topic. You need to set the bar higher if a liar sets your panties on fire.
Oh, boy, that's a good one. Very true. Every woman has to take heed. Listen to these now. Very, very good.
I tell you what, me and those panties, just put them under the AC and set the bar higher, because there's a heck of a lot more than panties on fire, right?
There you go.
Right, but you know, the thing is that when you make a real heart and soul and a mind and a body connection that is truly healthy and and affirming, the passion comes. Mm-hmm. And so do you.
So yeah, beauty has to come within, and that's something that I never did, and a lot of people, men and women, don't. It's still a very physical world. It's you know, they look on the outside and they don't look inside. Well, we all grow old.
You know,
movie stars. I mean, come on, it happens. And you want to be with somebody that really, really is beautiful inside and loves and respects you.
Exactly. So let me take a brief break, and I'll be back with you in a moment on Ask Dr. Love Radio.
You're listening to Ask Dr. Love with Dr. Jamie Turndorf. To speak to Dr. Turndorf live on the air, call 888-463-6748. That's 888-463-6748. If you like what you're hearing, you can learn about Dr. Turndorf's techniques for turning conflict into connection and healing in her critically acclaimed, groundbreaking book, Till Death Do Us Part, Unless I Kill You First, a step-by-step guide for resolving relationship conflict. Find out more about this book and read a free excerpt by visiting AskDrLove.com. This is Ask Dr. Love with Dr. Jamie Turndorf. And if you have a question for her, please call in now at 888-463-6748. This show is for you, the listeners, so please give her a call now. You're listening to Ask Dr. Love with Jamie Turndorf, PhD. Once again, here's Dr. Love.
Hello again and welcome back to Ask Dr. Love Radio. I'm Dr. Jamie Turndorf. I'm talking with my wonderful guest, Victoria M. Howard. She is the author of Why Women Love Bad Boys. Now, let's talk, because I want everybody listening to recognize all the bad boy types, because often when you codify it in this way, it helps you to say, oh boy, yes, I get it. He's one. So we got the last one we were talking about was the cheater. So can you run by us the rest of the bad boys?
Sure. The emotional abuser, which is, that was my, unfortunately, the one that I liked, is that they work on your emotions. They, they don't touch you, but they destroy you mentally. They take your self-esteem away. They will either call you ugly, you're not pretty enough, you're not smart enough, you're fat, you're stupid. Just terrible. But these men are just, they're the ones that are so insecure, but they know how to get to the women, and they make the woman feel like she's worthless.
Awful. Absolutely awful. And the next type?
The rapper, which is the BS artist, and that's the one that can talk you out of your clothes. They just know how to say the right things and do the right things, and next thing you know, they're gone.
Horrid. Now, how does a woman know when she's in the presence of this kind of a guy?
Well, you know, a woman should listen to her intuition. We're pretty smart, and sometimes we don't want to listen to ourselves, but all they have to do is just sit there and look at him and pretty much listen to what he's saying, and you can pretty much get these guys picked out immediately, because they're the ones that will just, they do nothing but they just meet you, and they go too quick. They want, you know, too quick on you. You're beautiful. I want to marry you. You're going to be the woman I marry. Watch out. Red flag.
So the guys that are in a big, big hurry, what's the big hurry? That has to get your red flags flapping. What's the hurry?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. That's exactly right.
Easy come, easy go. Right. Next type?
That one would be the man with the wondering eyes, and that's the guy that, unfortunately, this is probably the best of the bad boys. And what I mean by that, he just has a problem with his opticals. He can't keep his eyes straight ahead on you. He has to look at every woman. And I was engaged to a guy like this, and it made me feel really insecure. And I would say to him, you know, Al, why are you looking at her? He goes, I'm not a look. It's just, I'm not touching. And I'm sure, you know, you've heard that before. I'm not a look, but not touch. But these men, they make you feel, again, insecure and lose your self-worth because you think you're not good enough for them.
That's right. It's so true. I remember this psychoanalyst I know in the city went to Paris with his girlfriend. They were walking down the Champs-Élysées when a really beautiful woman passed him by, and he audibly groaned.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this was beyond the just looking. He groaned. Well, his girlfriend all but belted him in the middle of the street. You know, the thing is, men are not blind. They are naturally wired for variety as opposed to monogamy. But still, a man who is giving you the right feeling and making you his number one lets you know that, yes, I see another woman is beautiful, but I only have eyes for you. So I remember I would say to my husband when I would see a beautiful woman, oh, isn't she beautiful?
Yeah.
And he would say, yeah, like, so what? It's like admiring a painting. It doesn't matter. And you know the difference when somebody is seeing someone, but he only has eyes for you versus his eyes are wandering and they are being used as weapons to really hurt your feelings.
And,
give me some other type.
Okay.
Oh, did you want to say something?
No, that's fine. The married man is the cheating man. That's the cheater, but it's married men. It's the man that is actually married that meets you, whether it's online. Mostly I found a situation online. Says he's not married, and like you said, he has another wife, another family. He doesn't want to leave his wife because of the money or because of the children. And a lot of times the women, they become so involved and they're so deep that they don't want to get out. That they fall in love with this man, and he has the best of both worlds.
It's awful. It's so painful. And next type?
The sexual abuser. That's a man that sexually abuses his woman. She feels like she's just an object. He can have her whenever he wants to, whether they're married or not. Usually it's a marriage. And he comes in, and she's just there whenever he wants her, and that's very sad because they feel completely worthless. They feel like that's the only thing they're good for is the sex. usually these men are out having sex with somebody else while they're having sex with their wives.
Now, also, I've heard a lot of cases where there are women who fall into the error of giving sex up to men like this, thinking that they will be able to win them away from a girlfriend, a fiancé, or a wife, and
right.
in the process just destroying their self-esteem even more because they are just allowing themselves to be used as an object.
Very much so. That's usually what happens, and that's what they are, they're just objects.
Right. So now, have we exhausted all the bad boy types, or are there still more?
The one we have is the bad boy behind bars, and this is the one that just blew me away when I was interviewing these women. These are the women that are, I'm not saying they're stupid, well, they're stupid, but they're not unintelligent. They're very intelligent women, many of them. In fact, one of our top female writers, and I won't mention the name, she was married to three men behind bars. Convicts. And it's just amazing because they fall in love with the Ted Bundys. Somebody married Ted Bundy and had a child while he was behind bars. I just seen it on TV last week. Oh gosh, what is his name? The one that killed Sharon Tate, that crazy
Don't
one.
Oh man, I can't give you the name. But
he's the one
he had a woman.
Too. Yeah, they're getting married. She's 20-some, and they're getting married while he's in jail. These are women that they either think, and a lot of these women I interviewed, they would write to these men behind bars because they have internet dating sites, prison, you know, men behind prison, women behind prison. And what they do is they write to these people, and they either think, A, they can change them, which you cannot. B, these manipulating con men, this is their only means to the outside world. So they tell these women whatever they want to do, and these are usually very needy and lonely women. And they tell them, and then they hook them. They send them money. They go and they see them. They marry them. And the women say, oh, he never did it. Like the guy that married Lacey Peterson, Scott Peterson, every day he gets piles of letters from women asking to marry him and saying they know he's innocent. And it's just, I don't understand these women. I really don't. I mean, you know, he kills his wife, he kills his baby, and these beautiful women, some are Playboy models, and they send them letters, oh, I want to marry you, I know you're innocent. It's just amazing.
It's beyond belief. So what's your take on why women fall for bad boys, men who abuse them emotionally, physically? Why? What's your understanding of it?
Well, a lot of it, like I said, it goes back to a lot of when they're little, whether it's they see their father abusing their mother sexually or emotionally or physically. It's a pattern. They grow up with this, thinking that this isn't the norm. And once they start it, they continue. I've had stories where women have been murdered by the men because they wouldn't leave them. And it's really sad. So there's a fine line between a bad boy and a crazy bad boy. So psycho. If you see one, just stay away.
Right.
Stay away.
Now here's the thing that you're talking about. This is the subject of my book, Till Death Do Us Part Unless I Kill You First, which I'm now republishing through Hay House. It's called Kiss Your Fights Goodbye. And now I explain to people that not only do we repeat the trauma that we experienced in our childhood or we witnessed between our parents, but there's an omnipotent fantasy that goes on. Now you notice you said a few minutes ago that, we think I can change him, I can fix him, Now this dates back to childhood too, because when we are witnessing abuse or being abused, little kids always think it's my fault. Whatever's happening in the world is because of me. It's about me. It's my doing. I can fix it. Mommy and daddy are getting divorced. I wasn't a good enough kid. So that is the omnipotence, which omnipotent, all-powerful fantasy that most of us carry into adulthood. So we pick somebody who's damaged and abusive, like the parent we had trouble with, and now our omnipotent fantasy carries into adulthood, and we think, but this time I'm going to change him. This time I'm going to fix him. This time I'm going to win my love. And then there you get into that repetition over and over and over and over, and why you keep doing it again, because you're really replaying the original trauma. So anybody who finds herself in this situation, you know you got to heal the old scars. So what was really cool is that your book really shows people all the types of bad boys to look out for, and then my book shows you how to heal yourself, heal the old scar, so you set yourself free. And Victoria, I think it's a kind of nice companion thing. I'm going to have to, you know, encourage people to do the one and do the other. And my book, by the way, is available now for pre-order on Amazon. And Hay House is telling me you've got to have all your fans pre-order this book on Amazon, because it turns out the bookstores decide which books they're going to stock on their shelves based on the pre-order. So everybody, it's time now. Go to Amazon and order pre-order my book, Kiss Your Fights Goodbye. And it will show you not only how to break free from this pattern of choosing partners that destroy you, but how to just resolve all kinds of conflicts in your relationships. And I have a free gift also if you pre-order Dr. Love's 7 Secrets to Lasting Love. And you just go to my website right on the homepage, click on Kiss Your Fights Goodbye, and your little gift will be available to you after you pre-order Kiss Your Fights Goodbye on Amazon. So I'm really happy that you wrote this book. Now, have you had any women reaching out to you after having read it, and has it helped them to stop choosing bad boys? What have you found as a result of your book?
Well, ironically, it is now sold, it's translated and sold in 15 countries.
So that nice.
Yeah, that has to tell you how big this is. Such a subject that's worldwide. I mean, women all over the world, doesn't matter what walk of life you come from, they like bad boys, or 80% of them do. I shouldn't say how they all do. And I would say I started two women's groups. One was I Am Woman, and it's about empowering women, and it's not a malbashing group. It's just telling them that they don't have to take abuse. And I was the role model, because I had walked away from a lot of stuff with my husband, and he said I'd never be anything, and I'm stupid, and I had to prove him wrong, obviously. And the other
thing, and write a book.
And now I have to come out. The other one is that I think that there's a group called Kick 'Em to the Curb, and I made a live dating game with this. And it was a edgy modern day version of the 60s dating game, and it was really funny. And I had a lot of people come there, and I've matched a lot of people with this game.
Isn't that funny that you have been following a very similar path to me with, you know, the game Kick 'Em to the Curb and the game that I... Isn't that funny? That very similar path we've been traveling. So now I'm really, really happy and excited to know that you not only kicked all your abusers to the curb, but you wrote 10 books in the process, and you're inspiring women. That is so wonderful. So now I have to take a little break. And when I come back, we're going to talk more about bad boys and how to cure yourself of your addiction. Be back in a moment on Ask Dr. Love Radio.
You're listening to Ask Dr. Love with Dr. Jamie Turndorf. To speak to Dr. Turndorf live on the air, call 888-463-6748. That's 888-463-6748. If you've recently been through a breakup and are looking for a second chance, wondering how you can reconcile with your ex, or if it's even possible after all you've been through, Dr. Turndorf's latest book, Make Up, Don't Break Up, presents her 5-step plan for reconciling with your ex. This plan was developed out of years of research, working with thousands of couples at her Center for Emotional Communication. This is a proven no-hype and no-nonsense method that gets right to the root of the problem to guide you to the right path towards reigniting a lasting relationship. For more about Make Up, Don't Break Up, visit AskDrLove.com. You're listening to Ask Dr. Love with Jamie Turndorf, Ph.D. Once again, here's Dr. Love.
Hello again, and welcome back to Ask Dr. Love Radio. I'm Dr. Jamie Turndorf, and I'm talking with Victoria M. Howard, the bad boy expert. So, Victoria, You wrote a sequel to this book, This One's for the Boys, A Man's Guide on What Women Really Want. Now, in that book, you're not talking about the male version of guys who always pick women who abuse them, right? Tell us
right.
a little bit more about that book.
Yeah. No, in fact, there is a book out that somebody wrote called, Why Men Love Bitches or something like that. And that book is, yeah, and it's true. It's the opposite of version of mine. But no, this one is just, I wrote this because after I wrote the Why Women Love Bad Boys, a lot of the men come up to me and said, you know, why don't you write a book for us? We want to know really how to get along better with women and what it is they want. You know, they don't really want what we think they want. So I wrote this little book, and it's a man's guide on what women really want. And it's a cute little hand guide. It's only about 80 pages, but it's pretty informative. It, you know, men just don't get it. They don't get what we want.
I know. I saw a stand-up comic say once, I wish women would have a teleprompter on their foreheads that would tell me at every moment what they want. What am I supposed to do? I don't understand what she's saying. Because so often women fall into that mistake of expecting guys to guess, which of course dates back to childhood when mommy is supposed to love me and guess and read my mind. And if you didn't have a mommy who was attuned, then you come to adulthood thinking, well, now you're going to be my mommy and you're going to guess.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Uh-huh. Very
you know?
True. Yeah, that's right. No, you know, it's obvious. A lot of things, it doesn't take a scientist to figure this out. I mean, we want respect. The number one thing I think that we want from men is respect. We want to, you know, I don't know if they will ever treat us as equal, even though we are. But, you know, we've come a long way. Women have come a long way. And there's presidents of countries now that are women. And they're just, and they're graduating college, and they're getting as paid as much as almost as much as men. So I'm very proud and very pleased that the females are making their way in society. But you know, men
one of the things that guys don't realize that a woman really, really does need to feel first in his mind and his heart. That doesn't mean that you sit at home and stare at her and give up your life. It's more about an emotional communication, giving the right feeling.
Well,
that you are first. Your happiness is my number one priority. And of course, if a woman gives a guy the same feeling and they're both doing the same, then they have quite a happy relationship.
Right, which is very few probably today, unfortunately, because one always wants to give and take.
I know. My marriage was so remarkable. You know, I was married for almost 30 years, and there was never that scorekeeping of, well, I gave you this and you didn't give me that. There was this basic adoration that it was just whatever you want, whatever will make you happy is my life. But because he was doing the same back, we were both so blissfully happy with each other. And this is really an ideal, I think, that all of us need to follow. Put the other first. Really live the love by giving. You know, love is really a four-letter word that's spelled G-I-V-E. Give, give, give.
Exactly.
And when a man really does that and makes her feel first, which, you know, Sigmund Freud said that it's not natural for a man to do this because men are more naturally independent.
Mm-hmm.
And so they don't naturally want to subjugate their ego to that of the woman. But if a man does so and says, you know what, you come first, I want you happy, he is happy too. Happy wife, happy life.
Mm-hmm. Well, you just said the one word right there, ego, and that's the problem. Most men have that ego that, you know, you're not a man if you, you know, you don't make more money than your wife. You don't treat her below you. You don't. It's true. It's even today's society. I've seen that. A lot of men do not want to put their wife on the same plateau as they're on. It's the ego. It's the ego.
But, you know, underneath it all, men who have the strongest and most healthy and intact egos are not threatened. They're not competitive. They
right.
have no objection to letting the wife feel
right.
that her happiness comes first. So it's really the guys who have to strut their stuff and present a falsely inflated ego actually have a very tiny ego.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
they're the ones that have no self-esteem. You're correct.
Right. It's just a cover-up. So, you know, the other thing that we didn't say is that we were talking about the old scars that make women drawn to bad boys. But there is even a evolutionary psychology perspective that says that women, you know, it is said that no matter how much money a woman makes, no matter how successful she is, she's always looking for a man who's more successful and makes more money. And this is driven by a primitive biological urge to be protected and provided for. It's sort of built into the female DNA. And that when they are looking for the alpha male, the protector and the provider, they often make the mistake of confusing a nice guy who would be a good protector and provider with bad boys. And so you see a guy who's a tough fighter, mean, he's obnoxious, he's aggressive. Ah, he must be a good protector and provider. So it's sort of like a misreading of our evolutionary biological cues. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. It's very true. Very true.
Yeah.
Going back to the beginning of the cavemen.
Yeah. So I see a guy who's in a fight. Oh, he's tough. He'll protect me. No, he's going to be in jail. You'll be writing to him from jail. You know, so you have to evolve and say, wait a minute, what is the true protection and providing that I need? I need emotional providing. I need respect. I need a feeling of trust and safety. This is the true providing that I need, not somebody who's going to go pop someone in an alley, you know.
You're exactly right, and women are, you know, we're the caretakers. We're the, we think with our hearts. We're the nurturers. We want to make everything okay. And so we put up with a lot of stuff that we really don't have to put up with or we shouldn't put up with because we're always trying to fix it.
Yeah. Yep, and you don't want it. Do you want to have a lover or do you want to have a project?
Exactly.
You don't want your lover to be a project. Now, that doesn't mean that we're not here to help each other, because as I say over and over in my book, Kiss Your Fights Goodbye, we are here to truly work with each other, to use the relationship to heal our mutual old wounds, the old scars from childhood. But that's not like you're my project and I'm fixing you. It's he's helping you heal, you're helping him. It's a mutual process. That's a different story.
Yeah, it should be a two-way street.
It's got to be a two-way.
When I was married, I went to my husband. I found out he was bipolar after a year of being married to him, which I won't get into that, but that's like, you know what that's like, it's cycles. So I went to his a psychiatrist with him, and I said, you know, doc, I'm just trying to, my marriage is 90-10. I was only married a year. I said, you know, can he come just a little bit? And the doctor said, of course, it has to be 50-50. And my husband looked over and he said, I'm not budging for anybody. I should have that day.
Charming. Did you file papers that day?
No, 10 years later.
That was pretty quick.
Well, we look for the good things.
I tell you what. You know, here's the thing. I've never told this on air. I'm going to tell you. In the midst of all the internet dating, I actually wrote a book about this. I call it Dr. Love's True Adventures in Online Dating. I haven't published it yet, but I met every freak, fraud, con man known to man, Victoria. So it was really intense. So there's this one guy who was bipolar. I did not know it. You know, he didn't reveal it. He flies out from the West Coast, which is where he lived, to visit me for a week, because how else are you going to get to know somebody who lives that far away? He didn't reveal his bipolar disease on the first visit. So now he comes on the second visit. And now I start to see, you know, he's sleeping all the time. He's drugged, this and that. So in the very, very end of this second visit, he and I made a date to watch a movie. He was going to watch a movie on his computer when he went home. I on mine, we would be on the phone. So he goes home and he breaks the damn date. We have the date. He doesn't call. I place one phone call. I place one email. He doesn't answer. Now my housekeeper, Donna, says to me, oh, I know you're going to chase him. I said, you watch me. This man will never hear from me again.
Good for
didn't.
You.
And this is the thing. This is the thing where women have to respect themselves. They have to, because I said, if I chase him now, I'm going to be chasing him the rest of my life, because it's the, you set up the roles in your relationship early. And what you're doing in the beginning is what you're going to be married to. So I knew this guy wanted me to chase him and build up his ego. Bye-bye. Yeah, it was really sad for me. Yeah, it's hard to be alone, but I would rather respect myself and model this for women. Respect yourself. Being alone, watching a Netflix movie ain't too shabby compared to having your heart broken.
You and I are so much alike, I have to tell you. We really are. We should, I don't know how far away you are from me, but we should get together. We could really tell some stories.
Now, you live in Florida, right?
Yeah, I do. I live in South Florida. Mm-hmm.
Well, my sister's just moving to South Florida, so she bought a house. Well, she's actually on the West Coast, but my uncle lives on the East Coast. So I'm sure you and I will be in touch, because also, do you sell your book, any of your books, through affiliate programs? Is there a way that I can put them on my website?
We'll have to, everything through, everything's online, right? Well, it could be at the stores too. They're Barnes & Noble, but they're on, they're at, Amazon, they're at Tate Publishing online, anywhere you can get it, pretty much, all the books.
Okay, so you've published conventionally through Tate. Anybody can get them through Amazon or through, do you also sell them through your website as well?
Yes, I do.
So give everybody your coordinates so everyone can know how to find you, reach out to you, find your coaching. Lay it on us.
Okay, well, you can go to my website, which is relationshipguru.com, or you can go to the other one we just started with, babyboomerdatingguru.net. And it's I'm an advocate for safe sex and baby boomers now.
That's a wonderful thing.
Yes, it is.
Very
I need it.
Wonderful. I am so glad that you reached out to me and asked to come on my show. I'm really glad I met you. I love the work you're doing. I love your message. And I hope you will keep in touch with me. And I hope you'll come back and you'll be a guest again.
I would love to. I'd love to meet you sometime. You're a very, very special woman.
So are you. I just had a real connection to you from the get-go, and I so thank you for being a guest with me on Ask Dr. Love Radio. So, everybody, that's all I have for you today, and I just want to remind you again, go to Amazon, pre-order Kiss Your Fights Goodbye. Who doesn't need a little more help resolving conflicts with friends, family, spouses, lovers, coworkers, kids? So do that, and then come back to my site and receive your free gift for pre-ordering. And I wish you a really great week. Mind yourself and kick those liars to the curb. See you next week on Ask Dr. Love Radio.